Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
An emerald. Windmills are burning down to the ground. And they'll never build them back anymore.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer, and today we take you to Durham, North Carolina, the stomping grounds of the folk singer Jake Xerxes Fussell. He's just put out his new album, his fourth, called Good and Green Again. Fussell takes traditional folk songs, mostly from the American South, and finds ways to tell those old stories in a new or newly relevant way. His new album features guests like singer Bonnie Prince Billy and producer-guitarist James Elkington, both of whom have appeared in our WNYC studios in the past and who are on this record, Good and Green Again. But for today, it's just Jake solo with his guitar playing a couple of songs for us, beginning with this one called Love Farewell.
Lander on for marching, first for France, then for Holland. Cannons roar, colors fly. All my love has no denying. Ring farewell to my love. Lysander on for marching. Everyone is true love searching. Cannons roar, drums are beating. Oh, my love, there's no retreating. I ring farewell. Farewell to my love, farewell.
That's called Love Farewell, live performance from Jake Xerxes Fussell, and a song from his new record called Good and Green Again. And Jake, first of all, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I have to ask, a lot of these songs are traditional, but this one, it's not as clear to me whether this is a folk song or maybe your own kind of creation out of folk material. Where did Love Farewell come from?
It's really a conglomeration of a few different variants of similar songs from the same sort of folk song family, I guess. There was one version that I heard on a record made by Jody Stecker and Kate Brislin, I think from maybe the mid or late 80s. And then I found a variant in a folk song book and then another in the Max Hunter folk song collection, which is, I think it housed at Missouri State University, but it's on their online archives, and it's, I could tell they were all related in some way or another, but maybe, I mean, that happens with a lot of different songs. They have one meaning and then they get picked up and used in a different context, and then they lose their narrative. Maybe they have some pretty site-specific things they're trying to say, and those details are lost, or little bits of details are kept in there, and they maybe don't make as much sense later on. I took some liberty and put a few of these different things together.
Yeah, just the way that, you know, you allude to all these different source materials. I mean, that's part of, I guess, the fun of being a folklorist, but also I guess the great challenge of it as well is that there is this thicket of musical weeds that you can easily get lost in.
Oh yeah. I mean, that is the fun for me. I really like digging through all that stuff and pulling out different aspects that I can sort of glom onto, but sometimes it can be a little overwhelming at times. But I don't necessarily feel the pressure to be like a real completist either. I know there are people out there who are much more learned about this stuff than I am on some level. I'm just trying to get at some emotional angle by playing a version of it that I can relate to on a personal level. So
yeah,
that's part of it. But I also enjoyed the research aspect. So.
And for you, which came first? Was this a research project that became a musical one or a music, you know, was this a music you grew up with?
That's a good question. I grew up in a folkloric background. My dad's a folklorist. He's pretty much retired now. And both of my parents were involved in material culture, quilting and, interviewing basket makers and people like that and potters. And then he also did some work in documenting traditional music. So that was sort of my background. And so that's how I became interested in traditional music as a kid. And so it grew from there. There was a time when I went to graduate school and I was writing about this sort of stuff, but I realized pretty quickly on that I wasn't cut out for academia. As much as I enjoyed reading and talking to people who were involved in that world, it wasn't really the life for me. And I decided I was always playing music since I was a kid. And at a certain point, it just, it dawned on me that I didn't have to keep those two things separate. I could do research through music, and it didn't have to be a separate thing for me. So.
Yeah. So the latest result of that is Good and Green Again. The song Love Farewell on the album, you have Bonnie Prince Billy helping out on some backing vocals, and there's some lovely pedal steel guitar work on that as well. So how does the arranging happen? Is that after you've decided what you're going to do with or to the song, and then you figure out how it's going to sound on the record?
More or less. Usually I'll have some idea about instrumentation. I usually work things out just by myself on an acoustic guitar or something like that beforehand and keep it real simple. And then I think like, oh, this might be nice with a French horn on it or a pedal steel. So it was good this time to have a producer to work with who could help me track down somebody to do that sort of stuff. And well, I didn't
James
have to
Elkington,
worry about,
yeah, terrific
James Elkington,
producer.
James Elkington, yeah. So yeah. He was great at doing that and communicating that. And he's somebody who thinks like both a producer and a musician. So that was nice. It was easy for me to communicate with him.
Right. So the biggest track on the album is the one you're going to do for us next. It's called The Golden Willow Tree. I don't even want to ask where this got, because I know a little bit about this song. Aaron Copland did a setting of a version of this song, and nothing like what you've done here. On the record, it's a pretty epic song. And it seems to come from a very long tradition of disaster songs, a very specific subset of folk material. Would that be fair to say?
I think so. Yeah, it doesn't have the sort of real site-specific sort of disaster songs, like something like the Titanic, or some of them are a little more easily like track downable.
Right,
this one's a little
right,
bit
right.
vague, but you know, some of them really were sort of served as like newspaper headlines, certain murder ballads. And a lot of those came in the early part of the 20th century or the late 19th century. But this one's probably a little bit older than that. And yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah.
It's an odd song, isn't it? It's kind of about a captain asking someone to sabotage his own ship. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't really know what to make of it, which is part of what drew me to it. And then I realize sometimes that I'm drawn to songs that I don't know what to make of. not necessarily that, you know, I mean, on some level, I have some thoughts about what it might be about. But in another way, I sort of don't quite... It keeps unfolding the more I listen to it. But yeah, I tend to like songs can get like they can sort of like pester you, you know, and then you're like, oh, I don't even sing it. Maybe if I sing it, I'll start to figure out what it's about.
I mean, I love that in songs wherever they come from. We're speaking with Jake Xerxes Fussell and hearing some songs from his album Good and Green Again. This is the big one on the record. It's called The Golden Willow Tree.
Shall be at your command if you sink her in the low.
if you'll sink her in the lonesome sea. Out on his breast, away he swam me. And he swam till he came to the golden willow tree to sink her in the low and lonesome water, just to sink her in the lonesome sea. Locker fit for the bar, and he bore 9 holes in the bottom of the floor just to sink her in the low and lonesome water, just to sink her in the lonesome sea. And caps, a trying to stop the saltwater caps as she sank in the low and lonesome water, as she sank in the lonesome sea. Playing cards, and some shooting dice, while others stood around just to give them good advice, as she sunk in the low and lonesome water, as she sunk in the lonesome sea. Out on his breast, and away he swam he, and he swam till he came to the Turkish Rivoli. Sunk her in the low and lonesome water. Now I'll sunk her in the lonesome sea. Captain, will you be your word, or either will you take me in on board? Now I've sunk her in the low and lonesome water. Now I've sunk her in the lonesome sea. Be as good as my word, nor neither will I take you in on board till you've sunk her in the low and lonesome waters, till you've sunk her in the lonesome sea. Thank you. fight for you, men. How I dare unto you, just as I done unto them, I would sink you in the law. And lonesome water, I would sink you in the lonesome sea. Some king a bidding farewell to the golden willow tree as he sunk in the low and lonesome waters as he sunk in the lonesome sea.
That's The Golden Willow Tree, a song from Jake Xerxes Fussell, playing live there in North Carolina. And you'll find a kind of a full fleshed out version of this on the album Good and Green Again. And when I say full and fleshed out, Jake, I don't mean in terms of length. I just mean in terms of production and stuff, because it's pretty long. I mean, how many verses are there, and do you sing all of them?
You know, it's funny because I'd worked up this version, and that was the main problem that I had with it. And I was telling Jim Elkington, the producer, I was like, you know, I got this song and I don't want to slip into the territory of doing narrative ballads that are like 11 minutes long, because I've sort of, you know, gotten close to doing that before. And I don't necessarily want it to be a thing that I'm known for. And so then I thought, oh, I can clip a few verses here because I've done that before and had the narrative still sort of make sense. But I couldn't really have it make sense. It had to be that long. And then Jim was like more committal to it than I was. He was like, well, if it's going to be long, you should just have it. Don't worry about the length. Like, it can be, if the feeling's there, then it's fine. So as long as you don't get bored of it 3 minutes in, you're good. You know? So I was happy with the way it turned out. I was a little scared that it might, you know, but sometimes songs are just long and that's the way it goes. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes stories are long, and, you know, mm-hmm. What are these folk songs other than, you know, people's stories that have been handed down on the record? You know, the arrangement steadily builds over time, and it's constantly growing as the story unfolds. What struck me about what you just did is that when it's just down to you and the guitar, there's something almost hypnotic or trance-like about it after a while, you know, because you are kind of deep in this storytelling mode, and the music is kind of repeating. I mean, that's a trope that we hear in traditional music from cultures around the world. That's, you know, what does it do to you to be in that space for that length of time?
Well, I mean, there's a few different things happening. The guitar part kind of plays itself on that one, and the melody does too. But at the same time, I'm trying to remember the lyrics because there's so many of them. You can get thrown off rhythmically with a song like that easily. So just trying to pay attention to phrasing and stuff like that. But really just trying to get into the feeling of the thing. You know, that's the most important part when I'm playing music.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been doing this for a while now. What do you look for when you're putting your next batch of songs together? I mean, do you have specific sources that you like to go back to, or how does that happen?
The sources part or the looking around part kind of happens on the back end. for the most part, this sounds cliche, but the songs kind of find me in a weird way, just because I'm always listening to old field recordings or music that I'm interested in, and then things will stick out to me, like, oh, that's a weird melody, I wonder if I could do something with that, or like in the case of that that last song we were just talking about, where it's like a little bit like mysterious, and mm-hmm. I can't quite put my finger on it, and then so I'll start kind of messing around with it. Then later on, I'll be like, oh, I'm sort of familiar with this song, or sort of the family of songs that it might come from, and then I can sort of poke around. And yeah, there are a few like online resources. Of course, there's the Library of Congress and all the field recordings there, record labels like Smithsonian Folkways. And then there's a few different like online forums where folk music nerds like me get on there and they talk about different variants of folk songs, and the collections like that Max Hunter Folk Song Collection at Missouri, and different places like that where I can do some digging around. I also have a lot of old folk song books and stuff like that. So, and records, you know, a lot of field recordings or pre-war commercial recordings of traditional music, stuff like that.
Well, Good and Green Again is the latest record from Jake Xerxes Fussell, who's been playing for us and talking with us. And Jake, it's a terrific record. You and Jim, James Elkington, the producer, you did a great job. It sounds terrific. And great performances. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, check out the videos of Jake Fussell's performances for us from his new record called Good and Green Again. They're on our YouTube channel, the New Sounds YouTube channel, and of course they're right here on the website at newsounds.org. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer is Karen Havlick, our video editor is David McLean, and I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.
Landmills are burning down to the ground, and they'll never build them back anymore.